Welcome to Friday Night Party Line. I'm your host, Victor Frost, and tonight we have a smattering of wonderful, interesting guests. Starting off from south of the equator, we've got Churba. Hey, man, how's it going?
Oh, not too bad, eh? Same old, getting along.
All right. Nelson, what the hell happened to you?
I am at work.
Yeah, but your video. Okay, your video is
working.
Your video was all glitchy.
I am also running a virtual machine on a laptop.
All right. Ro from Atomic Trivia War 9000. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, good to be back.
Fantastic. You have quite a collection of comics behind you there.
Yes, they're mostly mine. A few of them are my boyfriend's, but they're mostly mine. I told him, you need to make room for my comics because I'm running out of space.
And of course, we have the wonderful and intelligent Scott Johnson. Welcome back to the show, Scojo.
Hey, thanks.
So let me just clear off this overlay here, turn on my lower third, here we go. Yeah, so we are back live streaming video, thankfully. There was a bit of an issue with YouTube that had to be cleared up, but now that it is, I can only say that I am extremely happy that it is. So let's get into it then, shall we? So the first topic of the month is, well, we're going to discuss the government shutdown in the United States. Last month, we did a little bit of an embargo on topics that would raise our ires. But this month, all bets are off. We are going to be digging right into it. And, well, one of us on this show today was a little bit more affected by the government shutdown than perhaps most of you listeners out there. Maybe two of us on the show. And I was wondering, Ro, could you happen to know who it might be that might be... might have had an issue with the government shutdown?
I think it was Churba.
Yeah, totally Churba.
Churba.
Man, my green card is never going to come up, tell you what.
That's one of the people that got affected, who was like, which is very sad. No, I am a government employee. I work for the Department of Veterans Affairs, and let me say this first and foremost, opinions expressed are solely my own and do not express the views or opinions of my employer. I love working for the VA. I've been working for the VA for over 10 years now, but with the whole government shutdown, it affected me greatly. Did you want me to cover anything in particular, or just my own personal experience?
Well, I mean, maybe we can briefly cover the events that led to the government shutdown, as if the mass media hadn't covered it enough. But maybe I'll just take care of that. So what happened was the budget was coming up, the wonderful bit of legislation that happens every year that keeps our government running because it needs money. And due to a bit of a significant brouhaha regarding the Affordable Care Act, and namely the Republican Party not wanting to defund it as a rider to the budget, and the Democratic portion of Congress saying, ha-ha, no. The government, most of its quote-unquote non-essential functions were shut down, which included a great deal amount of services that are provided to the normal citizenry at large. So, Ro, with that little bit of a foundation set, why don't you tell us what you had in mind about this delicious government shutdown, whilst I sort things out with the Facebook and such.
It was complete and utter BS, and it basically, I don't have the numbers, but I'm pretty sure that it costs way more money for the shutdown than just to continue, pass some sort of continuing budget to get things going. And for me, I was considered an essential employee, so I had to work and not get paid at the time, but I still got paid regardless because of they finally passed it. But some people got sent home because they're considered non-essential, and they still got paid. They didn't have to use any leave. They accrued leave just as much as I did, and they basically got paid to go home and be at home. And I was like, I want to be non-essential. I want to kind of go home and clean and relax and play video games. But I couldn't work overtime, and I really like working overtime because I'm, you know, saving money on things. And it was very stressful at my job because of the morale, as well as just having to go to work and know that you're not going to get anything really rewarded. I mean, yeah, I like getting paid. I'll make the money. I'll earn the money that I work for. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, you got just, I'm really angry at Congress for that, especially the Tea Party and Ted Cruz. And I hate Texas. Sorry, Texas. I hate you guys. I hate you guys so much. But no, I know I work in a government building, so a lot, everyone in that building for the most part was affected, so I didn't see that many people. The cafeteria, which was like on a contract, they basically, there was no one there, so that kind of sucked too. And, you know, I don't know, overall, I mean, in the long run, yeah, I got money and it didn't affect me as much, but at the same time too, it was completely unnecessary. And from what I understand with the shutdown, it was basically a bunch of whiny brats. Basically, they didn't want to, if they couldn't get their way, they would basically just stop everything, which pretty much essentially what it was. They were trying to stop provisionals to a law that was passed ages ago, and it doesn't make any sense to me, especially when it comes to healthcare, because I am all for healthcare for everybody, so that's just my opinion on that. But, I mean, if you have any specific questions, I'd be more than happy to answer if I might know them.
So, what percentage of the people working at your place were deemed essential?
I would probably say 75% to 80%. It was a good amount. Mostly the people that had to go home were upper management, HR, and like some people on certain teams that weren't necessarily for that needed to be work. I work for the benefit side of the VA, not the medical side. I used to work for the health administration, which is actually treating veterans and seeing appointments and everything. So they actually were not furloughed, and they are on a continuing resolution for like 2 years. So they were still good. I think the only people affected on that end were the IT people, from what I understand. I don't quote me on
that.
Yeah. So yeah, people, veterans were still able to get care. However, when it came to like expediting of veterans benefits and claims for certain things, that was affected a bit. So, I mean, not necessarily people getting their money, but like, you know, for people who have pending claims. And I would guess that possibly it created even a more larger backlog. And the funny thing is, if you watch The Daily Show, you know how the red tape diary bit, basically the Benefits Administration is like in huge hot water for the backlog of claims. Like, there's like claims that are like pending over a year or so, and we've been working very, very hard the last year and a half to try to get that backlog down significantly, which we are doing, but that shutdown didn't help at all. And so now a lot of people, we're all basically playing even more catch-up now, and there's mandatory overtime, and, you know, people are cutting into work. So, yeah, that's pretty much that on my end. I know that the people with the visas, they were definitely, who do passports and stuff, they were closed. The IRS was, the only people for IRS that was open were the people basically collecting the money. Everyone else there, they were closed. And I know because of the furlough, the IRS projected that it's going to be even later for people to get their tax returns back for the next year. I remember hearing that recently on NPR.
Which pissed me off a great deal, because the IRS is open just enough to take your money, but not send you money if you're entitled to it.
Hey, you know. What do you want it to do?
I should note right now that if you are a member of Google Plus, you actually have the facility to basically ask us questions, and you can do that by if you're watching this on the YouTube live stream, you can go ahead and refresh the page, and in the video description you will see a link that will take you to a wonderful page where you can not only watch the show but submit questions to us live. So, just a little bit of interjection there to help facilitate the audience participation process. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fortunate that I went on the vacation I did like a week or two before the shutdown happened, because I ended up going to a national monument in Oregon. And I was in the Redwood National Forest, and I was kind of curious if I would have been able to do that. Well, I definitely would not have been able to do the cave, but I may have still been able to drive through the forest. So they may have barricaded that, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, funny thing, like, right before the shutdown, one of my team leads or something, they were going on a vacation for 2 weeks, and he went to go visit his daughter in Montana, and he was supposed to go to Yellowstone. Yeah, that didn't happen on his vacation. Nope. I feel so bad for him. That completely sucks. And I remember listening to NPR and how the guy, he was at the Grand Canyon, and he's basically been trying to save up for this trip for a long time, and this is his first time going to the Grand Canyon. He had all the stuff planned out, and he couldn't do anything because they were closed. And there's a bunch of people in their tents, like outside, you know, the main gate for wherever, the main entrance for the Grand Canyon Park, and people were just waiting and waiting and waiting, and they unfortunately could not go because all the parks were closed. And it's just extremely unfortunate because, yeah, parks, they get like nothing when you think of the budget compared to other things. And if you always see like on usajobs.gov, they're always hiring, but they don't hire anyone because more than likely they can't retain the people because somehow the funding gets cut. So it's
that's really sad.
It's really sad. It is sad and depressing, and you know, but and we have many parks in here in Washington, so it's just. But I remember, didn't like Utah like try to get like state money to reopen their parks?
I know New York City opened the Statue of Liberty and a few others using their money to open them because they just were like, hey, we want our tourism money.
Yeah, like don't do that, and that was good on their part for the states to show to make Congress look even more inept. So
yeah, I just the one thing, I guess, the national parks were kind of useful to point to people that there were actually issues that they could directly see happening, because the shutdown affected like the regulatory agencies like health and science, and if you're not really connected to those, you wouldn't really see anything going on as badly as, you know.
But wasn't there like a big chicken salmonella type outbreak with Foster Farms recently?
Yeah, but I mean, like, that probably would have happened anyway.
Yeah, but like, it'd been nice to have the FDA kind of on top of that and, you know, doing stuff, except for not being there. But I don't know.
No, I mean, I agree. I just think that the parks were a good way of showing people, like, here's something that you can't do.
Yeah, and like, wasn't that lovely, like that whole wasn't it like the memorial for the veterans, and a bunch of old veterans, World War II veterans, were trying to go to that memorial, and they were like, screw it, we're going in here, we came here, we're gonna go look at it. And you know, the park ranger was like, go for it, you know. And then some Republican congressman, I don't know who, she came later. No, but it was this one guy, I want to say he's from Texas. And he basically was, and this was all recorded on camera, he was basically scolding the park ranger for not doing her job. And then a veteran came in like, you know, you need to do your job. Like, why are you yelling at her for her trying to, you know, try to control things? And he basically just got owned, and it was hilarious. So basically, this Republican guy was trying to get a photo op with veterans, and then they end up getting told by a veteran on air. And it was beautiful. I was laughing so hard.
It was definitely really bad political strategy. I mean, their idea that they were going to try to like put forward individual items that would make tough votes. Like, I guess their plan was, yeah, we will close the government down, and then we'll start opening parts that people want open, but not all of it, and then make the Democrats not vote for it and look like they're not compromising.
And it completely turned back on
them. Yeah, it didn't work very well.
And I applaud the Democratic Party for doing that, for finally having the testicular fortitude to say no, to straight up no, and have it blow up in the Republicans' faces. Now, I understand, you know, we can have whatever views you want, but overall, we are having a huge shift of change of how the Republican Party is being seen and how they're changing their views, and it's just, this has been happening ever since 2008, if not possibly earlier, with the whole Tea Party debacle, and basically vocal minority that's extremely far right, and they're basically imploding. And it, you know, as much as you as much as I kind of enjoy watching it, it's not necessarily great in regards to good legislation getting passed and things getting done for the country.
Because you gotta feel a little bit sorry for Boehner. I mean, not because, you know, obviously the government shutdown was a bit of a brouhaha debacle and was a terrible idea to try and hold that hostage, but because he has to speak not just for, you know, the House, but for the Republican. He's the Speaker of the Republican Party. He is the highest officer of the Republican Party. And the entire Republican Party is being pulled to the far right because of these very vocal but minority groups like the Tea Party. It's kind of sad.
Well, yeah, one of the things that really holds up, screws stuff up in the House is they have this rule called the Hastert Rule, which means that if the majority of the majority party is not going to support a bill, they won't bring it up. So if they can't win the vote on just Republican votes, it won't actually come up to get voted on.
Yeah.
And they do it occasionally, like they did it on this one to end the shutdown, but they will not put forward anything that they know would win because it would get some Republicans and majority of Democrats, even if the Speaker wants it.
That's a horrible rule. I remember watching the video on that. Wasn't it like one of the congressmen from Massachusetts that brought that up? And it was just like, when you're watching them speak about that, you're kind of confused for a bit, but then when you listen to more, I'm like, that has to happen to even get voted on. I'm like, they basically are bottlenecking anything to get through at all, and it's horrible, and anger, so much anger. Because let me just tell you, during this whole entire shutdown, I was very stressed out. Like, I was depressed, like, beyond, like, I hated waking up every morning and going into work because I felt like this completely sucks. There might be a chance that I'm not going to get paid. I have to pay rent, and I don't know what's going to happen. And these people, they're at home chilling, and I can't apply for unemployment because you have to be not working for a week, and at the same time, because I'm considered essential, I don't qualify for those benefits.
Yeah.
And it just screwed over the people who were forced to work, and, you know, I consider that to be not fair, but at the same time, too, it still worked out in the long run, but overall, it still kind of sucked. And that's why I'm still very bitter about this. And unfortunately, I can't necessarily do anything unless giving money to the Democratic Party, because in my state, pretty much it's mostly where I can affect the vote. They're already Democratic, so it doesn't really matter.
I mean, we all knew that this situation was going to resolve itself by the time it came for the government to decide about raising the debt ceiling. That really was the hard deadline for the government shutdown. But it just feels like, why does it have to get to that point? Why do we have to have... I mean, government shutdowns aren't new. We've had them a ton of times in the past decade and, you know, past 20 years. We've had them numerous times. But why does it have to get to that point?
Because you need leverage.
Yeah.
And that's how they feel. They, you know, if both sides don't want to compromise, the only thing you can use is hostages.
Mm-hmm.
If no one's willing to move, I mean, what are you going to do?
Now, do you guys think this is going to strengthen the Democratic vote in the upcoming primary elections? Or is it in a couple of years?
I hope so. No, next year.
Next year.
How did the fallout come out? Because in the beginning, I heard that a lot of regular Americans, in quotes,
regular Americans,
were blaming the Republicans like they should.
Well, that was reflected in a poll shown by NHK World a few days ago. I think it was gathered from the couple of papers in Washington, not Washington State, Washington D.C. So,
was that?
When it comes down to it, it's going to be like the independents that are really going to have a different opinion. You know, your hardcore Republican guys are just going to be like, yeah, it was great, it was kind of a crappy move, but...
They were trying to protect
overall
America from the evils of healthcare.
Socialism. It's fucking socialism. No. What I can't do is explain to you why socialism is actually necessarily a bad thing, but I know it's damn well socialism.
well, according to a...
You know, it always comes down to the 20% in the middle, you know? And I think it looked really bad to them.
Yeah. I'm going to try to...
They'll vote.
I'm going to try to pull up a graphic here, if I can manage it.
Uh-oh.
Visual gag.
Well...
Good luck.
Yeah. Let's pretend like I won't be able to for the time being.
While you're trying to get that up, I can make another point. The biggest problem that they had was, you know, the 20% in the middle, right? They look at the shutdown, look at it as a bad thing. If they didn't shut down the government and let the Obamacare websites, well, ACA websites, fail like they have, like,
they could've
it
used
would
that.
Have been so much better for them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the funniest thing about it. Like, if they would just would have been, did the, like, you know, they thought, like, oh, this government shutdown is going to make them look bad. Now it made them, make the Republicans look bad. And if they would just saw that how many people are having issues trying to get for health care, then, like, oh, my God, obviously, if we can't even get a website running, then we obviously can't be doing health care.
And the funny part on that is that that would have, I lost my point completely.
It made them look stronger?
Yeah.
Well, it mixed the message. So now when the site doesn't work, people can say, well, the government was shut down when it started. So what are you talking about? You know, there's the,
I,
it kind of like messes up
say,
their message.
I should say this. Me personally, I've already felt the benefits of the Affordable Care Act. I was on a local Los Angeles County socialized healthcare before. I was part of Healthy Way LA, and I got a letter in the mail a few days after the Obamacare quote unquote went into effect, basically saying that come January I'll be moved from the Healthy Way LA to full on Medi-Cal, which is so much better and lets me go to actual doctors instead of clinics. So
nice.
Yeah,
that's very
so
good.
we were looking for we were talking about how this is affecting the GOP, and I do actually have a graphic. So according to a Washington Post ABC collaborative news poll, the question was asked, who was mainly responsible for the partial government shutdown? In January 1996, when Clinton was in office, 27% blamed him and 50% blamed the Republicans, and 20% blamed both. But in October 2013, this year, 29% blamed President Obama, but 53% blamed the Republicans. So maybe we have a little bit of hope of a Democrat president and a Democrat Congress next year.
Actually, it actually took me a second to look at that graph and realize that people weren't actually blaming Clinton for the current shutdown. I honestly wouldn't be surprised. The government just can't function smoothly without the sounds of his sweet sax splitting through the White House.
Does anyone know?
It's the Nixon depression. Didn't you know that?
Does anybody know if President Obama plays an instrument?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I mean, I know he plays basketball.
He plays basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to also add, I've been seeing the effects already.
I've been global thermonuclear war.
Oh. Yeah, I've actually already been seeing the benefits of the Affordable Care Act with my free birth control and free preventative women type checkups. So, thank you. I'm saving money. And I still have no problem paying for my birth control, but at the same time, it's very nice knowing that I don't have to pay for something. Because like, if I have a baby, that means I have to spend more money on things and that I can't afford, and that would mean that I might have to seek support from the government and people. I'd be possibly on welfare, taking a handout.
you're working for the government already. I
know.
Yeah.
Well,
government doesn't make any jobs, right? I mean, you don't have a job.
Oh, fun right, fact. So, this year has been like the lowest ever for government hire. Like, not, well, just the lowest. Like, there's like not that many government employees compared to years before, so take that for what you will.
So maybe we can move on to a topic where Cherba can have a substantive input into.
Oh, you want a substantive input?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're not
just...
You are...
Socialized healthcare, you sons of bitches.
Well, Cherba, I mean, I feel I can speak for all of us when we say that, Cherba, you are not just a pretty face. So, let's...
marry me and you'll also get healthcare. So now, two things.
All right, so let's move along to the next topic. That is it ethical to edit your own Wikipedia Wikipedia page? There are numerous different points of view. There are numerous different points of view on this. Wikipedia Foundation, they generally discourage it, saying that it creates an environment for a heavy conflict of interest. I mean, after all, I mean, if there was a public documentation of you as a person that you could edit, wouldn't you want to make it only have the best bits and not...
I have something to say.
Well, go for it, Nelson.
It should not be wrong to edit your own page, but if we do that, then we must have the rule where if you put knowledge or facts into Wikipedia and you do not cite your sources, you get beheaded immediately. I think they balance each other out.
I think LiveLeaks business will be booming.
The Wikipedia Death Squad marches on. Bum, bum, brum, brum, brum,
brum, brum.
Well, no, there are for cases. Example, yeah.
Go on, Scudder.
I was going to say, one of my in-laws is a admiral, and she has a Wikipedia page. And a lot of the information on it is just wrong. And she knows, she looks at it and goes like, oh, this is wrong. But she's not a real big computer user, so like I'll look at it and be like, oh, wait, this is wrong, you know, and change it. Is that wrong? I mean, I'm getting the information directly from her. I mean, it's not like it's bad stuff. It's like, what ships did she serve on?
But is that information published anywhere?
Probably not, because that's
the problem.
Well, now here's another question. Say, look, we'll just use the example of your relative. Say that you wanted to go through and do it properly and cite your source. So for the sake of doing it that way, you sat down with her and formally interviewed her and transcribed the whole interview and put it up online and you cited that. Is that really any better than just saying, yeah, I got the information from her, I'm related to her? And does that make it any more, I don't know, acceptable?
What is truth?
What is, is truth? Okay, but goodbye.
All right, Trevor, you want to say them.
Well, there's actually cases where this has come up. For example, Neil deGrasse Tyson, I believe, I'm not sure if it still does, but for a very long time, his Wikipedia page listed him as an atheist. And he actually got in the shit for going to his Wikipedia page and saying, you know, hey, I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson, not actually an atheist, I'm, you know, actually an agnostic. And he changed it. There was a big edit war about this. Yeah, I suppose himself, about his personal beliefs. I suppose he could write a book on the topic. I don't freaking know.
If he wrote a book on the topic and he cited it, or if he got quoted somewhere, that would be perfect.
Yeah, all he had to do is just tweet it, I'm not an atheist, I'm agnostic. Bam. Mm-hmm.
Boom.
One source right there.
Can you use Twitter?
Yes, he does quite regularly.
No, can you?
No, I mean,
yeah, no, you can. You can. I'm pretty sure you can cite tweets in Wikipedia.
Yeah, oh my god, game over.
So, what is this going to lead to? Is this going to lead to celebrities who want to correct things about themselves in Wikipedia making tweets or why the hell not? Entire books about things Wikipedia got wrong about me.
Yeah, celebrities can do that, but. Regular people?
Yeah, right. But then again, if you're a regular person, you shouldn't be notable enough to go to be in Wikipedia. Because you have to be, you know, notable.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. He's like, I don't know. Don't mind me, I was just looking up if Victor has a Wikipedia page.
I looked it up before the show.
Simply because the Friday Night Party Line Facebook, which I control, is linked to his Twitter. So I can make posts
on
his Twitter using the Friday Night Party Line Facebook page. So I can say whatever I liked say it on his Twitter and then use his Twitter as a source to say whatever I liked on Wikipedia.
Oh, man, I can't believe I hadn't noticed that until just now.
It doesn't matter. If I was going to use it for evil, I'd have used it for evil.
Nefarious means or sorts.
Well, if nefarious means really funny, but...
Oh, God, I just... Fuck. Oh, I had a sneeze. Sorry.
Yes, believe me, no.
Well, is Wikipedia coming up with a solution for this? Or are they sticking with basically you need a site, wasn't it, at least two sources, or you need just one source for whatever?
I believe you only need one source.
Hmm.
But, I mean, if someone came back with two sources that contradicts that, they'd win. Because two is greater than one.
Mm.
I know this because I...
It's two. 2x.
Is better than 1x.
Wasn't there also a number of cases where people were very explicitly found to be editing their own Wikipedia page for their own benefit? Like, I know that the Church of Scientology is banned from editing their own Wikipedia page.
You know what's even worse? There are companies that are PR agencies that will edit Wikipedia pages for money. Those people should be rounded up and shot.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, there's like there's a list of incidents regarding it, including Jimmy Wales edited his own Wikipedia entry, which, in case you don't know, Jimmy Wales is a Wikipedia co-founder.
Yes, you would probably recognize him from how he creepily stares out at you from the top of Wikipedia once a year.
It should be happening sooner. Did that already happen? I forget.
So he edited his own wiki.
Right, yeah, it says. Apparently,
I mean, doesn't that say that Wikipedia then approves of it?
Well, apparently he edited the Wikipedia article of his former company, Bombus. Let's see. Bombus Babes, a section of the Bombus website, had been characterized in the article as softcore pornography, but Wales revised this to adult content section and deleted mentions of pornography. He said he was fixing an error, but didn't agree with calling Bombus Babes soft porn.
Well, I had Sylvia Saint, just, and she, believe me, she does not do softcore porn. Sylvia Saint. She's a Czechoslovakian porn actress.
Ah,
she's been in like 300 films. If you've whacked it on the internet, you've probably seen Sylvia Saint at least once.
Maybe.
What's that poster behind you, bro? No.
Which way?
The one next to the Twilight one.
My poster's right there. They're in front of me.
I still think that fucking Edward bloke looks like a foot.
Chirba, I see you've changed your lower third description there.
Yeah.
What is that, chief editor of Victor's? And then it kind of cuts off.
Oh, it does too. God damn it! Why do you have to line break? It says Wikipedia page.
Uh huh.
God damn it.
Oh, didn't Rim and Scott have a Wikipedia page for a little while, and then it got deleted or something?
Like 2 seconds.
I don't know. Yeah, for a little. Oh, yeah, they had it for a little while.
I'm actually looking right now. it doesn't. The first thing
this
I mentioned
page was deleted.
Podcast awards.
Uh-huh.
It was deleted in 2010.
Whoa! Geek Nights has a TV Tropes page. Look at that.
Yep.
Yeah, they do.
Huh.
They do.
I
look this up now.
Me versus Ro edit wars are about to commence.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, they have the running gags. Woman, warm today.
Play to win the game.
Stop having fun, guys. It's a well-known scientific fact that Scott will end you if you even think about playing Team Fortress 2 instead of hardcore shooters like Natural Selection or Counter-Strike.
Who?
I don't know.
Who did this? Oh my god, those are some hardcore fans.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You know what? I can almost guarantee they're not on the forum.
It was me, guys.
Vythera, huh. Vythera, Vythera, Fel-H2, Oreo-chan.
Who are these people?
Ruby 007. I have no idea. They've never been on the forums.
By the way, we should have a forum plug.
Ah, yes.
Or someone else's forums.
We don't have a forum.
I'm like, yeah. Do you guys have a forum?
We're still using that thread on the Front Row Crew forum. It's kind of what we've been doing. It's been working so far.
And did you guys like have a Facebook page?
Yeah, the Facebook thread page.
All right. So, we ended up talking about Geek Nights, and now we're talking about their forum. It's worth mentioning that one of the podcasts that is a very good friend of this one and has had both guests on this show numerous times, Rim and Scott from the podcast Geek Nights, they have a most excellent forum where all five of us pretty much regularly appear. And it is at frontrowcrew.com. It is quite an excellent forum, and you should go and sign up. It is, as Rim and Scott have put it, the ivory tower of the internet.
Oh, but it's going to be down.
Yeah, it's going to be down. If you're listening live, it'll be back up already. If you're listening live, it'll be down in a couple hours. But if you're listening to this on Friday, as God intended, it will already be back up and actually new and improved with better searching, God willing, and a whole host of other wonderful features. So. Fantastic. You guys should go.
Kitty, don't die.
What the fuck is going on?
My kitty decided to visit me.
And then, attack you, apparently.
Yeah, and I'm furred.
Also, since we're all fair and equitable and shit on this show, except to libertarians, we must also mention that you should visit the ATW9K Facebook page.
Oh, indeed, indeed.
Oh, yeah, I guess. They're okay. They're a bunch of assholes.
Also, join everyone but us on the Simply Syndicated forum.
Do you still have forums? I don't go to them. I don't know.
I don't know. I've never been there. I've never even been to Simply Syndicated.
They completely changed their format. They're really cool. I think they're all on SoundCloud now, and there's like a subscription to basically, it's kind of like a Netflix thing. If you like pay like a certain amount of money, you can basically have access to everything in their library, and they have like a lot. Mm. But I think that's cool and all, but I don't know. For me, I'm poor. Well, by poor, I mean I need to save up to get a new computer and, you know, geek things, I think they're great. I love ATW9K. I've been doing it for 2 to 3 years now.
Long time.
I don't know, but
long time.
ATW9K on Twitter. I'm the one that mainly tweets on there. If you tweet at me at ATW9K or at Rosaka M, I will more than likely tweet back at you because I like talking on Twitter. So that's basically the best social media to ever get a hold of me on.
And if you hadn't noticed, she's just such a nice, personable person. I'll be honest.
This may damage your chances of ever getting on the Simply Syndicated Network with this show. But I don't actually listen to any shows on that network except for ATW9K and Remote Patrol.
I listen to ATW9K, but not regularly. So it's all good. I've been on the show. I like the show. I just haven't had the time to listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the third topic.
It sucks.
Whatever happened to the show about movies?
The Simply Syndicated
show about movies.
Movies you should see?
Yes.
Yeah, that's still on there, I believe. And
I want to listen to that again.
I think they're rebooting it. Yeah, so you should definitely
check reboots.
It out.
Generally go very well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. Yes.
I'm glad you caught on.
I'm not too quick, but I got that one. I got it.
We can all agree on that.
So let's move on finally to the last topic of the show. Normally we do the plugs and stuff at the end, but it seems we've done it in the middle. We're going to take care of the last topic now. So there's been a recent phenomenon among a certain variety of technology companies, particularly those that offer encryption and privacy services. And it's general, and it's basically they're performing seppuku by legal, based on legal potential, basically throwing themselves onto their swords to keep the NSA from getting to them. This has recently shown itself through a service called Crypto Seal Privacy, which has shut down its consumer VPN service, leaving open its business-focused VPN, in rather than risk government intrusions that could cost the company money and legal fees and threaten user privacy. And really, they're not the first. There's been another company. Good God, what is the name of that company? I had it.
Lavabit?
Yes, Lavabit.
Lavabit.
That was particularly put into the focus of the media due to the Edward Snowden case. And well, this is terrible, right? I mean, this is unfortunate and redonkulous, and every possible.
That's pretty crazy.
As a government worker, I cannot make such comments on such things.
I see. Okay. Obviously, this is not the first time this is not the first time a government action has caused companies to basically fall out of business. I mean, United States Postal Service is not, while not technically a part of the United States government, it did put out of business a lot of smaller mail carrier companies. And, you know, this particular situation is not due to competition, it's due to risk. And it's a legitimate fear, I think, on the part of those companies, don't you?
Well, the only question I have is they're closing down before they even get a demand for their keys. Like, it's not like, oh, guys, government asked us for our keys, we're shutting down. Like, they're like, oh, we're going to get asked, so we're just shutting down right now. I just know it.
Well, you know what it is? Okay. Picture an old Western town, and you see the bad guy, desperado, coming into town. It's all the shopkeepers slamming the shutters closed before the desperado can get to them and hold them up for their money.
Because a desperado can't shoot through a wooden fucking shutter. If there's one thing that always defeats a 45 long call round, it's definitely a wooden shutter on a shot. Then again, that also never actually happened, so right. The Wild West. Robs me of my ability to speak.
Makes you talk like Porky Pig?
Yes, never as wild as it was actually made out to be, but it made for some really good films.
So they were actually, they're more concerned about being thrown in jail.
Yeah, I guess the stance is that ethically they would not want to comply with the government's, but legally they would have to. So what they're doing is they're cutting it off at the pass, basically, to continue with Wild West metaphors.
I hate that cliche.
but in essence, they're pretty much are they protecting their consumers, like their current, even though they're ending their services, they're hopefully protecting their encryption and their passwords and
they're protecting their I guess former customers as well as themselves.
So does that mean they get like some sort of right because they closed down that those files are completely protected, that the NSA could never get their hands on it other than through some sort of court order?
Oh no, but I mean
I was like, wait a minute, this, I don't know, but
here's the announcement from CryptoSeal, for example. With immediate effect as of this notice, CryptoSeal Privacy, our consumer VPN service, is terminated. All cryptographic keys used in the operation of the service have been zero-filled, and while no logs were produced by design during operation of the service, all records created incidental to the operation of the service have been deleted to the best of our ability. Essentially, the service was created and operated under a certain understanding of current U.S. law, and that understanding may not currently be valid. As we are a U.S. company and comply fully with U.S. law, but wish to protect the privacy of our users, it is impossible for us to continue offering the CryptoSeal Privacy Consumer VPN product.
Okay. That's pretty cool. That's cool, I guess. I don't know. It's very... NSA thing is very... it's very sketchy, and you know, you just keep hearing more stuff every day about the I think it's more internationally being concerned about than I would say domestically, in my opinion, even though there should be possibly more domestic concern amongst Americans.
But currently we're on the phone with Chirba, so we're probably getting looked at then.
Mm-hmm. Talking to those
it's
radical
true, I
dissidents.
Am, in fact, a dangerous terrorist.
You're a terrorist.
I actually once even refused to put sauce on my meat pie.
Yeah, I liked their other quote that was it's like we were if we were legally the best VPN option, I would probably have pushed to keep it going anyway and just shut down when and if it happened. But as it is, non-US providers run by non-US people are objectively a better option. So in good conscience, there was no reason to continue running a U.S. privacy VPN service without technical controls to prevent being compelled to screw over a user.
Yeah.
That's very good on their end. I definitely applaud them for that. That's...
And they even go on to recommend users start using systems like the Tor project for anonymity type stuff. I mean, it is really sad that we have this environment that we have that as private citizens and as businesses, we have to defend ourselves against the government, or rather a branch of the government, just to be specific here.
I believe
Nelson has a friend.
Hi, Nelson's boss. How are you? I'm not a terrorist.
He says hello.
I got
Nelson is totally working right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We're very important. I'll buy lots of whatever you do.
Nelson, just to is that a coworker or a boss?
That is a boss.
Okay, so Nelson,
I'm shutting down my company.
Oh, Nelson, why don't you tell us a little bit about what your company is? I believe your company is preparing to launch a thing or something.
Are we announced?
This isn't going to go out until Friday anyway, so you guys are already going
to
be launched.
There's
but...
nothing to announce at this time.
Okay.
Wait, this is already going out on Friday, except for the fact we are live streaming.
What happens is it's a live stream, and then the actual podcast comes out on Fridays. Because maybe we should record on Friday, guys.
Fridays are difficult.
Yeah,
we need a party on Friday. Jeez, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday's going out.
See,
to
this
drink.
Is the line to the Friday night party. It's the line that starts all the way on Monday. You gotta know someone to get in.
Actually, there's really interesting history besides behind the term Friday night party line. I mean, not just our use of it, but the term in general.
Yes.
But now's not the time.
Yeah, we know that use.
Anyway, I will be listening in like a listener, and I will chime in if necessary, but I need to do a little bit of work.
Okay.
No problem.
So Nelson is going to be half here for the moment. And but actually, I think that is... I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot to say on the NSA subject. It was mostly just a time to vent our general disgruntledness at the current state of affairs. Not that Roe has done any of that at this particular
time.
Nope.
Love my job.
I'm just sitting here thinking, you're gonna complain about protecting yourself from the U.S. government
is a patriotic Yankee Doodle Dandy girl, and we are all terrible dissidents, except for those who would claim that they are not. So, I guess that's about
fighter.
You're a freedom fighter. Fight the power, right?
Yes. I fight freedom at every turn.
So, that being said, is there anything you guys would like to plug now that we're towards the end of the hour?
You guys should all cheer for the Seattle Seahawks. They're playing in T-minus 37 minutes.
Oh, what is?
I'm sorry.
How are the Hawks going anyway? And also,
they're
what
great.
Do they play?
Is that a football team?
Yes.
Okay.
Seahawks.
American football.
Yeah,
I am unfortunately...
They're playing the Rams tonight, and we're going to have Lamb tonight.
Where are the Rams?
St. Louis.
Okay.
I'm unfortunately legally obligated to root for the Patriots. That is my extent of football knowledge. So.
No. The funny thing is, St. Louis, they're hosting Monday Night Football tonight, as well as game 4 or 5 of the World Series. So there's going to be more fans at the baseball game than there will be at the football game, because recently their quarterback tore his ACL. So pretty much they're done for the season, and it's going to be probably a beatdown. But I'm still going to watch it because I love the Seahawks.
Living hope.
And yeah, they're going to the Super Bowl. I guarantee it. Knock on wood, hopefully.
You.
If I don't jinx it.
I guarantee it. Knock on wood.
Yeah, I'll stay behind that guarantee.
No, jeez, I love football. Gross. I can't get enough of it. I'm going to be so sad when football season's over. But yeah, that's why I'm plugging. Go Seahawks.
Right.
In terms of sports, I will say this. I am, A, dismayed that there is no American contribution to Formula One, and B, both rooting for and booing Sebastian Vettel of the Red Bull team for winning the Indian Grand Prix this past weekend with as near as makes no difference a full 30-second lead on everyone else, including Nico Rosberg, which made a good performance there, but it was just kind of sad.
Overall, as much as Vettel's the winner, Kimi Mumbles Raikkonen will always be number
Raikkonen. Yeah, he came in seventh. Yeah. Lewis Hamilton came in right before him, and if I had to root for anyone in the entire series, it would be Lewis Hamilton. So
I can see Rose's eyes glazing over.
I'm sorry, I'm just like looking at like.
It's okay, Ro. When you come down for PAX Australia,
oh god,
I'll take you out. I'll take you out to an AFL game.
So. Okay, yeah, I will love to watch that because I ever since you like linked the haka from the freaking
that's rugby
All Blacks, that was so amazing. I was like, man, that's hardcore. Football people should do that too, and just get people pumped because Seattle has some of the greatest fans for football. And
you wouldn't need the cheerleaders anymore.
Yeah, we don't like our fans are crazy. I love them. So.
Bro, first of all, that's international rugby, love. But still, AFL's crazy. It's like dudes jumping off each other's backs and taking flying leaps.
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
It's like let's see, it's sort of like gridiron without the pads, but performed by fucking gymnasts, mad gymnasts who are very angry at each other.
Okay, hold on, let me find it. Before we leave, hold on, I'm gonna first save this image, and then I'm going to go to toolbox, and I'm gonna do my custom overlay. Hold on, I'm gonna change my custom overlay so to show you how awesome our fans are. Okay, so. That's not it.
No, that's not it, Rona.
That's not it.
Well, while Ro is getting that graphic up, Skojo, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
No.
No.
Running for political office again anytime soon?
Here's my overlay.
Not yet. Gotta build my power base again.
Here's Ro's.
These are our fans.
What is going on here?
That's Sea Hulk and Sea Pimp. How cool is that guy? Sea Pimp. He's so cool.
Okay, Sea Pimp is pretty sick.
Sea Hulk is really scary looking
from that guy.
He's so cool.
Wow. Ro, do put a link to this image in the chat so I can include it in the show description. Okay. This is a sight to behold.
Okay. I just had this. It was in the forums, but I will link it right now in the chat.
Yes, trustworthy brother.
Yes, it was in the forums. More of an incentive to go and join the Front Row Crew forums, where we are typically there. Yes.
You can yell at me directly when I say dumb shit, and trust me, you think I say a lot of dumb shit on the show.
Like you can yell at Scott. On a form.
Yeah. We've got five of them. You can take your pick.
You can take on Rim and Scott on the Front Row Crew Forum. I can't guarantee you'd win, particularly against Rim. He is pretty wily, but you can take them on.
He's smooth.
He is.
As well.
Yeah. I do. Nelson, do you have anything to plug?
He's working.
Okay, I'll plug for him.
Yeah, Chirp it, you do it.
What company do you work for? Type it in the chat for me. Uh, this might take a minute. But yes, as we all
hold on, Nelson. Nelson, where are you? That is how you answer that question. Where are you now?
Where? I'm in New York. I'm always in New York. I do have something to plug very briefly. A Canticle for Leibowitz. It's a book about a post-apocalyptic monk trying to rediscover how blueprints work, and it is fantastic.
What is the name of this book?
A Canticle for Leibowitz.
A Canticle for Leibowitz. Huh, okay.
It's a good book.
Ba-do-ba-do. Googling up. There it is. Canticle for Leibowitz. Oh, hey, that looks pretty interesting. It's... All right, cool. Canticle for Leibowitz by Walter M. Miller Jr. There you go.
Oh.
Okay, well, I mean, I do have one thing
I will,
to... Chirpa, you have a plug?
I will plug... Two things.
Two things.
Yes, two things. First of all, play Guns of Icarus because it's sick, and they just had a big update for Halloween.
Ah, I need to get.
Also,
back
if you
that.
Want to play Payday 2 anytime, I'm pretty easy to find because I use the same name everywhere. So come crime time with me, motherfuckers. Right, you may even get to play with the famous Breakfast Club. On top of that, Nelson's company is releasing a new product very soon. We will be keeping an eye on it, and we will let you know what it is. And if you should
use works for it.
Automatic yes, because we know Nelson. He's like the Italians. He makes good stuff. Or is that the Germans? No, it's the Germans who make good stuff.
A better God damn you, to tell
me. We don't make good war on Ethiopia, though.
We should.
We tried.
Well, there you go. They're helping the third world by failing at making war against them. This is how good these people are.
Boy.
But yes, keep an eye on this. Watch that space and buy their product, whatever their product is, because he hasn't even told us yet.
We don't know. Hopefully,
that's
I'll
how
find.
Super secret.
Hopefully I'll find about the time it comes to make the show notes for this episode and put it on the webby site. That being said,
also this doesn't count as insider trading because I'm not an insider.
Right.
Also, I don't know what the name of the company is.
We don't know the name of the company. We don't know what they're doing. I think we're pretty safe.
But we know it's good.
Fred is negotiating with, Nelson is negotiating with his boss over there while I'm mute. He's like, I don't know.
Probably
you know, they keep on trying
fired.
To talk about it. We should try to dub over Nelson while he's flapping his lips. Which is great because he can hear us and he's laughing because of what we're saying. Some of the high comedy you get by watching the stream of the show.
I prefer to think that he's trying to explain to his boss why his boss shouldn't fire Nelson and just hire me instead. Even though I don't actually know what Nelson does or how he does it.
I have that conversation every week, you know?
I don't know what you do here. I don't know what you do here. I don't know how he does it, but I don't know how you do, but I can guarantee I can increase productivity by 300%.
Oh, definitely. Because I'll find someone who's better than me
and farm it out
Nelson
to them,
does, and then hire him.
All right, so I do have a couple of plugs. For those of you who are residents of Southern California and of the anime interest persuasion, I'm going to be performing at Pacific Media Expo November 8th through 10th. That is the duration of the convention. I will actually only be performing on the 9th, but on that day I have four different lectures I'm going to be giving. One is the sound design of My Little Pony, French Was Magic. It's the second revision, and it's probably the last revision unless they do something really interesting with season four. Next panel I'm going to be doing is going to be So You Want to Make an Audio Drama, where I'm going to be helping the audience go through the entire process of making an audience. Making an audience. Going through the entire process of making an audio drama. We're going to be writing the script. We're going to be creating the characters, casting the parts from the audience, recording it right then and there, and putting it all together. It's going to be really, really fun. Next thing I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be doing Initial D, fact versus fiction, comparing the crazy-ass racing bullshit that happens in Initial D to real-life automotive racing techniques. And finally, I'm going to be doing Monster Girl Quest, where I go into the cultural and historical influences of perhaps one of Japan's most infamous adult games. It's actually there are actually videos of that one up online. It was a really annoying guy in the front row last time, but hopefully he won't be there this time and we'll manage to get a decent video out of it. Also, what I'd like to plug is this book I'm currently reading. It is called Supervillains and Philosophy. It is by Ben Dyer, and it goes into the different philosophical points that supervillains employ. So
I'm destroying the world this week.
Well, let's see here. On chapter 3, making the A-list, it says, advertisement. Are you tired of driving the getaway car and creating minor mischief around town? Duffel bags full of money, not enough to warrant risking your life for a hopelessly deranged boss who fails to encourage and develop your inner strengths? Are you ready to start an independent life of running amok and making a name for yourself? If so, then it sounds like you're ready to take the next steps in our patented villainy self-improvement classes, making henchmen and thugs like yourself into supervillains you've always wished you could be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of step one, asking questions and getting intimate with your inner evil.
Wait, this is how Idiot's Guide to Being a Supervillain?
No, it's it talks about the
bathe in radioactive material.
Okay, here's the different section titles. So you want to be a supervillain, the nature of evil, taking over the world, being good and evil, and fiendish puzzles. So it's an interesting book. I haven't started reading it yet. I just got it out of the library yesterday, but I'm very much looking forward to it, and I'm recommending it solely on the premise alone. The back of the book says, if you want to take over the world for the pure thrill of power, for the delight in the sheer destruction, or to solve everyone's problems and make the world a far better place, you're a candidate for supervillainy. But do you have what it takes? Or will you end up like the others, gnashing your fangs over the fatal screw-ups of your bungling minions? Supervillains and Philosophy not only divulges the essentials you need to become a successful supervillain, it aggressively confronts the outstanding philosophical problems of supervillainy.
I feel like that book's one of those books that gets you on a list.
Well, it's counterbalanced because I also took out Superheroes and Philosophy.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
So, you know, I'm good. But, those are my plugs.
Also, I'll second the plug for the Initial D panel. It's really good. Victor even consulted someone who has actually driven in actual races. So.
Yeah. And you. Yeah, so it's a really good panel. I wasn't able to get the video of it last time due to the SD card ate the video. It's gonna be great. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm doing about 6 hours worth of panels in one day, so I'm pretty excited.
That's a lot of panels. Good for you.
That's a lot of panels. Yeah, I've been on this pretty good streak of every panel I've sent to a convention, they've accepted it. So I must be doing something right.
It's very cool.
All right, so that about wraps it up for this episode of Friday Night Party Line. Thank you, Nelson, Cherba, Rose, Skojo, all for coming on to the show this month. And just a last question, what are you guys going to be for Halloween? Cherba, go.
We don't celebrate Halloween, Victor.
What? Even people in freaking people in Japan celebrate Halloween. How come you guys don't celebrate Halloween? It's fun. Okay.
It's like a way better holiday than all the other ones.
Yeah, no kidding. A fun fact, everyone, you just learned about Australia. They don't apparently celebrate Halloween. Nelson,
this may be changing in the next few years, however. It is getting slightly more popular, but really most likely what I'm going to be for Halloween is drunk. So
okay.
You guys just dress up every day, right?
Pretty much, yeah. You've got to put on your Fremen still suit to deal with the deserts.
Right?
Grab your anti-venom pack.
So, Nelson, what are you going to be for... Nelson, what are you going to be for Halloween?
Attract the worm.
I'm sorry, you were talking.
Nelson, what are you going to be for Halloween?
Also drunk. Probably also wearing a suit.
A suit.
Of some manner.
You guys are
so
boring.
How original, Nelson.
Ro, help me out here. You got to have some Halloween spirit here.
I'm going to be sexy government worker at home in her PJs.
But you're always sexy government worker home in her PJs.
That's going to be me. I'm going to be sexy government worker in my PJs watching possibly Thursday Night Football if there is any.
I'm done with you people. I'm done. Skojo, Skojo, you're my last hope here. You gotta help me out here. Tell me you're doing something interesting for Halloween.
Well, kids are kind of come up to my door, and I'm gonna give them candy.
Oh, fuck you.
I have, every year, my wife for a wedding got me a brown coat, and every year I'm like, I'm gonna dress as Malcolm Reynolds. Every year, I can't manage to put together like a pair of pants and a shirt that would work.
God, man!
So yeah, I even have the freaking coat.
The freaking coat.
Not worth it.
Make it happen.
All you need is to put the clothes together and get yourself a couple of Nerf Mavericks. It's not hard.
No, he just needs a red button shirt, suspenders, the Nerf and brown pants.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys are all boring.
Hey, man, I'm dressed up right now. No, you can't see it, but inside of me, I'm dressed up as a spooky skeleton.
Hey, we're all drinking. That's pretty cool,
yeah,
right?
We are all drinking, yeah. Yay!
Yay! Hey, we're, working adults. Dope.
Yep.
And Halloween's on a weekday. What the hell's that?
Exactly.
Well, whatevs. Anyways, thank you again, all of you for coming on to the show. Hope you can all come back on next month, because as always, it is a blast having you folks on here. You guys are very, very entertaining, and that's about it. So thank you all. This has been a fantastic episode of Friday Night Party Line, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Catch you later.
See you.
I'm gonna eat some pizza.
Ooh, that looks tasty.
That looks crazy.
That is a nice blazer.